Most of you will probably know that Kate and I, while we were away, celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. And, you know, yep, she's done well, hasn't she? 25 years, really blessed. And one of the things we decided to buy each other, because you know, you have no idea, silver, you're supposed to buy something silver, but that sounded a bit too expensive, that. So, what we decided to do was we decided to buy each other one of these Fitbits, okay? Not that there's anything wrong with me, all right? I just need to, okay. But, yes, this does seem to be a reoccurring thing that happens every year, and I seem to be getting them more of me every year, which is a blessing for Kate, I know. But, anyway, we decided to get these Fitbits each, and so we can get fitter. Anyone know what a Fitbit is? Everyone know what a Fitbit is? Anyone got one? Anyone got one? Put your hand up if you've got one. Okay, fantastic. Well, these things are really interesting because I don't normally even wear a watch, like that, so at least I can now tell the time, which is good. So it's a watch with a whole program which helps you to supposedly get fit. So it tells you how many steps you do, it tells you how many staircases you walked up and how many kilometers you need to walk and how much calories you're burning and all this kind of stuff. It's really interesting. It's very motivational. So on it, every day, you have these things that motivate you, that little ping up and go, it's time you got up and went for a walk. You know, you only have another 9,099 steps to do today. You know, and things like that. And so it's kind of very motivational. And it's been good. I've really enjoyed it, actually. I don't know about Kate, but I've enjoyed it. And it's kind of, it does motivate you, it gets you up because it challenges you and says, hey, you know, you've been sitting down too long. You know, you need to go and do this. And it's a constant reminder. And it reminded me, you know, Paul said that physical fitness is of some benefit, and it's of good benefit, and I'm encouraging myself as well as you. It is good benefit. He said, but it's not the most important thing. Spiritual fitness is so much more important because it affects eternity. And it made me think, what is it that motivates us to do the things that we're meant to do? And I would suggest that regularly it's got to be God's word, isn't it? God's word that comes to us that says, hey, isn't it time you did this? Shouldn't you be thinking like that? Shouldn't you be living like this? And today's scripture is what I find one of the most challenging, but also one of the most kind of helpful scriptures that helps me keep on track. And it's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it's literally just three verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. And Paul says this, be joyful always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Does that motivate you? Do we want to do God's will? Amen. Thank you, Annie. You know, there's a sense because we need to encourage ourselves. Just like this thing, you know, bleeps and says, look, Bozo, you haven't even, you know, done your steps today or whatever. You know, in the same way, God's word just challenges us about our heart, our spirit, our attitudes. And this passage in particular, Paul is saying, this is God's will for you. What? That we will be joyful always, that we will pray continually, and that we will give thanks in all circumstances. But how reasonable really is that? I mean, is it only for super spiritual Christians like Paul? I mean, is Paul saying that we should never be down, that we should never be sad, that we should never be irritated, that we should never be angry, that we should never... No, I don't think he is. And to even try to be all those things, or to pretend that we're not upset, to pretend that we're not sad, to pretend that, you know, we're not angry is not always helpful. It's not that we're going to bury our heads in the sand. We pretend things are not affecting us. We're honest and we're open. But I think in the midst of all those things, Paul is saying this is possible in Christ Jesus. How is it possible to be joyful always? Joy is God. God is joy. God is joy. He's in every essence joy. He's the source of all joy. He experiences joy and he imparts it to us. Our joy is just a byproduct of our relationship with him. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And the more that we open up our lives to God, the more that we're in relationship with him, the more we experience his joy. You see, it's not connected to our situations or circumstances. It's not happiness. It's something much deeper than that. It's possible to know God's joy even in the midst of sadness, to have that assurance, to have that contentment. Why? Because God is joy and he imparts it to us. Pray continually. You know, does that mean that we literally pray on our knees 24 hours a day? I mean, I encourage each and every one of us to, for 15 minutes every day, to spend time, whether it's morning, lunchtime, evening, to just to spend 15 quality minutes just being quiet, listening to God, praying to God, giving our request to God. I really do. It's so important that we do that daily. But actually, what Paul's talking about is that this is a relationship that flows throughout the whole day, that we're in communion with God the whole time. It's something so natural that maybe we're not speaking words out verbally, but that in our spirits we are praying. Because it's a sign of our dependence on God. It's a sign of our need for God. It's a sign of that we're connected to God. You know, if you think about it like this, if for 15 minutes every day I got together with Kate in the morning and said, Kate, just need to talk to you, you know, and after 15 minutes I said, great, thanks, love, bye. And then I didn't talk to her the rest of the day. When she comes in from work, just totally ignored her. Didn't ask her anything. And then the next morning, hi, darling, how are you? That'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it? Well, maybe not, you know. But I think it'd be a bit weird. And the whole thing with, you know, is relationships is that you're connecting throughout the whole day, even when you're at work. Occasionally, we send texts to each other. How's your day going? You know, can you pray for this? You know, I'm facing this. Could you just pray for me? Or, you know, and you're just connecting. Then when you come in, you're sharing. And you're sharing with one another. And you're praying for one another throughout that whole day. And I think it's through the course of the day that we do that with God, that we're coming to him as we're walking, as we're journeying, that we're just naturally speaking to God and listening to his voice throughout the day. Saying, Lord, you know, who do you want me to visit today? Who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to bless today? You know, give me wisdom today, Lord, you know. Give me strength in the situation. Help me know what to do. And then we're just listening to what God is asking us. And it's this sense of praying continually. And the third thing is that Paul says is give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I mean, you know, how is that possible? When we find ourselves in difficult situations and circumstances, can you really, you know, give thanks when you've just been told that your loved one has got a serious illness and is going to die? And you've just been told that you no longer have a job and you've got bills to pay. That you've just been told that your husband, wife of 30 years is leaving with someone else. How is it possible in those situations and circumstances to give thanks? I don't think, again, that Paul is saying that we give thanks for the illness, that we give thanks for the adultery, that we give thanks for this or that situation, but that in it, we thank God for a number of things. And there are three things in particular that we can thank him for. The first is that in the midst of it, that he promises to bring good out of every circumstance. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Sometimes we have to look for the bigger picture, and God promises that he will work good out of it. We can't see it. We don't understand it. We're not sure this makes sense. But God promises that he will work good out of it. He will bring good out of every situation and circumstance when we trust in him. That doesn't mean it's not painful. That doesn't mean that we'd rather it not happen. But God promises to do something special and bring something good out of it. That was Paul's testimony when in time after time he was in prison. And he used to say, look, this is good that I'm in prison. This is good that I'm in chains because the gospel has been extended. This was Joseph's experience when he too, after his brothers sold him into slavery, when all those years later he saw them again and he said to them, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. This is good that this happened to me. God turned it around. And I'm sure we got testimonies here where many of us have been in situations and circumstances that we'd rather not be in, but God has turned it around for something good. And we benefited from going through it. But the second thing is that God promises to be with us even in the middle of those situations and circumstances. That he promises to be with us. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. And that's his promise. Whatever situation or circumstance we find in, we cannot be separated from Christ. He promises to be with us right in it. And the third thing we can give thanks for is that God's plans for us are beyond our earthly circumstances. In Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Therefore we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. On this journey that we're on, we have a destination. That's eternity, heaven with God forever. All these things in life, they're temporary. And God, as we sang earlier, he gives and he takes away. But in the midst of that, we say, blessed be your name. Why? Because we have an inheritance that's coming our way. We have many blessings that are coming our way in Christ Jesus. The plans he has for us are way and above and beyond what we could ever have in this life. The blessings he has for us, the riches he has for us, the life that we have in him is so much more beautiful. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but these three verses help me to stay motivated. Because if you're like me, then we have a natural tendency to feel discouraged, a natural tendency to wallow in self-pity, a natural tendency to want to give up, a natural tendency to be self-centered. These verses help me to be God-centered and help my heart to stay in its right place and help my attitudes to stay in their right place. So this, hopefully, will get me fit. As usual, you can be the judge of that. And obviously, if it doesn't work, there's something wrong with the phone. Something wrong with this. But, you know, this helps me to stay spiritually fit. This helps me to have a right heart condition. This may help my heart physically, but this helps my heart spiritually and emotionally and mentally. We need both, don't we? We need to be motivated with both. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd minister your encouragement, your peace, your challenge. Lord, that you'd motivate each one of us through your word by the power of your spirit to keep close to you. And Lord, that somehow, in some way, that we would be people who are able to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstance, because you are faithful and you are the sovereign Lord. Amen.